This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Good Old Podcast. I'm Jackie Franchulli for Wahoo's 24/7, and we have a special guest. But if you're a Wahoo's 24/7 subscriber, you already know who he is. It's Michael Curran from Wahoo's 24/7. He's our amazing student intern. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This is your first time.
Glad to finally get on.
So if you're not familiar with Michael, he has done an excellent job on Wahoo's 24/7 since coming on. A lot of you really loved his five takeaways during the Virginia basketball season, and he's going to be back now for football. He'll be with me at the spring game on Saturday, and he'll be doing those takeaways again after the spring game. So you'll have that to look forward to. But today on the podcast, we'll be talking about the spring game, previewing what we want to see and what storylines we'll be watching as Virginia football takes the field for the first time since last season. Michael, there's a lot of key storylines that we'll be watching, and I want to turn to you first. What is the one thing, one storyline that kind of grabs your attention right off the bat?
I think the wide receiver position. There's no real experience here other than the Northwestern transfer Malik Washington. We haven't seen a lot of the other guys. I mean, Malachi Fields has caught a handful of passes here. J.R. Wilson had a few last year, Demeke Starling, but we don't really know where they all stand, where the hierarchy is there heading into the spring game. It'll be interesting to see who Musket especially targets a lot on the outside.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to talk about football more whenever, you know, it's Michael, I don't know about you, but every time I talk about football, and this is another milestone for this program, it's hard to focus on football without saying that this is going to be the first time that these young men are going to be on the field since the tragic shooting in November. And I don't want to diminish that storyline by just focusing on football. So I do want to just say that this is going to be emotions out there for the players. And it's going to be, it like Tony Elliott said in a press conference a few weeks ago, this year is going to be filled with these milestones for these players who are obviously, it's going to experience Scott Stadium without three men that they've played with. So that's obviously something that's going to be a little close to home for these players, but we're going to focus more on football. I just wanted to mention that because we can never forget about those three young men. So I wanted to kind of go with that too, especially since Mike Hollins will be on the field, and I was going to bring up the running backs because it's such a remarkable story to see Mike Hollins and the strength of character that he has had to come back, not just physically, but what he had to overgo through mentally. And obviously he explained that in detail in such a frank, candid interview with us. So I, like you mentioned the wide receivers, I'm curious about the running backs. That's a position battle that I'm curious with. There's a lot of talent there. You have Paris Jones, Mike Collins, Kobe Pace, Xavier Brown, Cody Brown, not related. So you have all those guys there, and it's such a talented group, especially when Ahmad Faustin, who I didn't mention the group, he came back from injury last year. So I'm curious on what they're going to do with so much talent. You know, they're obviously missing guys in the slot. When you mentioned the wide receiver, what are they going to do in the slot without Billy Kemp? Do they go with, you know, Malik Washington or freshman Jaden Gibson, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but, or maybe bring Xavier Brown and work him in the slot. So that is something that I'm curious about. And if you notice the theme here, when we're talking about storylines, and the first two things that Michael and I mentioned was offensive units. Because honestly, the big thing that I think everybody wants to see is how far this offense has come during this spring ball with new pieces like quarterback Tony Musket. Obviously, you know, he's in a quarterback battle with quarterback Jay Wolfick, who's been splitting his time with baseball. And then you have other guys like Malik Washington. You have Ugonna Nana on the offensive line. You have a new offensive line coach. You have a new wide receiver coach, Adam Mims. So, Michael, what is something offensively that you want to see on Saturday, or what do you expect to see on Saturday?
I'm really interested to see Kobe Pace. He had an electric year for Clemson, even as I don't think he was even their lead back when Tony Elliott was still there in 2021. It's over 600 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's more production than any of the backs had for UVA last year. It'll be interesting to see whether Elliott shows some favoritism there at all, just from experience, or just sort of where he stands with the rest of those guys.
Yeah, during spring ball right now, we've seen a lot of Paris Jones, a lot of Mike Collins rotating with the ones. That's been kind of the steady flow. We've seen some Kobe Pace there, but when the 30 minutes that we've had once a week during spring ball, it's been a lot of Paris Jones, Mike Collins. Mike Collins, they've been, like I mentioned earlier, he's recovering from the shooting, and his injuries were really affecting his core. So they were limiting his contact. They were talking to doctors. Obviously, it's a miracle in itself that he's back on the field when doctors said that they didn't know if he was going to be able to put on his socks by himself in 6 months. And here we go. In 6 months, he's playing contact football. So they're easing him back in. So we're going to see how much his limited reps are. So yeah, for sure. You know, you're looking at Kobe Pace. I'm just wanting to see if there's any chemistry and if the offense is more in sync than it was last year during the spring. Last year, we saw that they weren't quite in sync. We saw things weren't flowing as quickly. And a lot of that was they're adapting to a new system. Now these coaches brought in guys that fit their system, like Tony Musket. That is a quarterback that they recruited. Jay Wolfick, you know, we've heard he's electric. We've heard that he has so many capabilities. I'm curious to see him leading an offense when he's not the number two guy, when he's fighting for that number one spot. I'm also curious to see Anthony Calandrea, the true freshman quarterback that came in under center. You know, because Wolfuck has not been able to throw the ball every spring practice, he's one quarterback that I will admit, I was like, wow, he's a true freshman. He seems at ease under center when we've seen him. He's thrown a couple good passes. I like the fact that he read the defense. There was one practice where he read the defense well, saw what was happening, moved to his right side and got the ball out. And that was this touchdown this score to Demeek Starling in that practice. So he has shown that moxie. So I just want to see where this offense is. And Des Kitchings was pretty candid in his interview with us. He said he's as pissed as the fans are about where the offense was last year. He said, yes, there was drops last year. There was turnovers last year. The sacks, all these things didn't help the offense produce the numbers that they expected. But he also said this offense is now invested. He said players are more invested than last year. There's been a kind of theme this spring about buying in, 2 feet in the water, like Tony Elliott likes to say. So the people have seen that. We've heard from people behind the scenes, too, saying that there's a different attitude among the players. So that's the attitude I want to see on Saturday on the offense. You know, there's a lot of talk. I want to see the stuff on the offense because it does look like there's more, more chemistry, or just they're just more in sync, understand things better. Obviously, it's year two, so it seems to be better camaraderie there too. So that's what I'm looking at. But defensively, Michael, you know, there's a lot of good things that we saw from defense last year, but they are having some depth issues at certain positions. So what are you looking at when you're looking at the defense and Coach Rudd's group?
I think you have to look at corner, and they brought in Tavon Kyle from Iowa State. He's going to have to play a big role. He's the number one corner right now. How well is he going to play? Who's going to play opposite him? Is it going to be Cohen? We know Cohen King's been working out there as well, moving down from safety. How does he fare, and how does he pair up with the other guys? Because they don't seem to have a lot of depth right now at corner. After we had Anthony Johnson and Fentrell Cypress just dominant last year, two of the best corners in the ACC, if not the two best, and they're both gone. That's a huge hole to fill. I mean, that would be a huge hole to fill no matter what team it is. So how do you kind of account for that? Kyle's going to have to be that guy. He has to be.
Yeah, they were the yin and yang of the Virginia football team secondary, because Fentrell Cypress is probably the quietest guy on that unit. Well, Anthony Johnson is far from quiet. Johnson's personality is certainly infectious, and he's going to be missed. on that defense. He was certainly a leader, but he was also a friend. It was remarkable that he was actually a transfer from Louisville, because when you see him and you talk to him and you talk to the other teammates, you never would have guessed he was a transfer just by how just he just fit in immediately. And he's still around the program. Obviously, right now he's meeting with NFL teams. He had a meeting with the Miami Dolphins, but in the leading up to the pro day, he was there with the team. He was still with Coach Rudd, Coach Cox, with the team, talking to the youngsters. So he was certainly one. And we got to point out that some DBs are not practicing. You know, Elijah Gaines is a corner that is expected to feature next year. He has not played because he is injured. And Jonas Senker on safety is another guy that hasn't been playing. But obviously on safety, they have a little bit more depth with the addition of Cam Kelly too, and those veterans like Antonio Clary. So, and we mentioned Anthony Johnson, a leader in the defense, another leader in the defense now back is Nick Jackson. So I know that when I asked about the leader to Coach John Rudzinski, the defensive coordinator, he kind of shrugs like, you know what, there's another local kid called another Jackson called James Jackson. That's a pretty good inside linebacker. And he started to praise a kid that wanted to be in Virginia. He is at Virginia and they're seeing a lot of progress from him. But that is a group that we'll be looking at too. We talk about depth at corner. There's a lot of young depth at linebacker. Not much experience, but a lot of young depth. And they even moved Lex Long into that group. You know, obviously, if you look at Lex's physique, he's a pretty – his weight and the way his body is framed, you would see him possibly move from safety to linebacker, or at least be a safety that's closer to the box. Michael, what is your impression of the linebackers, and who do you want to see in that group?
I think Stevie Bracy has to be the guy to watch for on Saturday in the spring game. He was a guy staff talked about a lot towards the end of the year. As somebody, even though we weren't seeing a ton of him on the field, we're seeing more and more season went on, and just somebody that they thought was, that they liked, somebody who was making progress. Now he's, you know, into this next year, the second year, how much of a step does he take? There's, you know, we've got Josh Ahern. He's out right now during spring ball. So somebody has to step up to kind of fill in that next slot next to James Jackson. I think Stevie Bracy seems like the favorite there. He's kind of that guy he was the next up last year, but it'll be interesting to see whether he is that guy alongside Jackson on Saturday and how well he plays.
Yeah, the linebacker group, like I said, has a lot of youngsters. Stevie Bracy's in his second year, another Atlanta native. Him and actually Nick Jackson's family, the two families are pretty close. They had some epic tailgates, so I hear, during the season last year. So yeah, that's the name for everybody to know. The other name is Trey McDonald. He's also from the same class. Actually, if you watched our new class or listened to our new class podcast around this time last year, you would have known that Stevie Bracy and Trey McDonald were the jokesters of the class with very big personalities. So those are the two guys that are on that linebacker core that for you to know. And then obviously in the fall, there'll be addition of Cam Robinson. So the linebacker unit does have a lot of depth. When you look at talent, it's just, you know, there are going to be some experience that needs more experience and playing time. So we're going to take a little bit of break, Michael. But when we come back, we're going to talk about individual players that we feel are going to be raising their stock in this game, which veterans and rookies we're looking forward to see, and which what are our final thoughts on the spring game. So we'll be right back.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flake.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And welcome back to the Good Old Podcast. I'm Jack French, Julie for Wahoos 24/7. That's Michael Curran. Also our Wahoos 24/7 writer, Michael. We were talking about the spring game. We just kind of talked about the key storylines we'll be watching. Some position battles that we kind of keyed on. Now let's talk about individual guys. The spring is always a chance for guys to move up the depth chart. It's always a chance for you to raise your stock. You do it slowly and you progress during spring practice. And then it comes to that spring game where fans get to see you and you kind of try to prove yourself in game time situations. Who do you feel has improved most this spring or can really benefit from a good spring game?
I think Cohen King is the really interesting one. It's in part in it taking advantage of sort of an opening with at that corner spot. As we said, Elijah Gaines is out, and they have multiple safeties. They have the depth back there, and they've moved him down to corner. So if he can solidify that, maybe he even holds on to that spot. Maybe he can take advantage of that. This spring game is a big spot for him. If he can prove that he, you know, can hold down the corner spot opposite of Tavon Kyle.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think this spring game is actually a interesting situation for the staff because some of their key veterans are out. Like, you know, you look at Chico Bennett, he's not being able to play. You have Aaron Famui, he's not being able to play on the defensive side. So for me, I think, you know, we didn't even talk about the O-line earlier in the first half, but I think those guys, a lot of them are going to be fighting for reps and you're going to see them raise their stock. Ty Furnish is one that could raise, you know, he's getting more used to his quarterback and he's getting used to Terry Heffernan's coaching style. Ugonna Nana is a new name as well. Mikhail Boley on the O-line. He started that first game for Virginia last year. So obviously the O-line, every single one of them can raise their stock because they're going to be playing together. They've been able, unlike last year where they had to kind of figure out a way to get guys on the field, they actually have numbers to put out two different offensive lines. So those guys can raise their stock. And I know a lot of people will focus on the offense because you're looking at, you know, Jaden Gibson, a true freshman who's got with the ones. You're looking at anyone in the wide receiver running back room can raise your stock with good performances or anyone in the tight end room like Carson Gay. I think those guys that are number two or three on the depth chart on the defensive side can really raise their stock. Like Michael Diatta, he has been one guy that has been really spoken highly about by many members of the staff. With Famui gone, he's been rotating a lot with the ones. And the way that Coach Rudd, Coach Downey, and Coach Lay like it, they like to rotate several guys in. They like to have those guys fresh. That's how they want to do it. That's how they want to do it on Saturday. So having guys like Micah Diatta inside, Tara Jones, go in there and also be available for them to rotate. And just, you know, he's a redshirt freshman. Defensive lineman, he's moved inside. So you have those two inside. Bryce Carter also moved inside. So that little battle right there among young guys in that DT position, I'm curious to see who can raise their stock. And I think Michael Diatta has done a good job so far. And you have Ben Smiley on the edge. He moved inside last year. Now he's back on the outside. He's one I'm curious too, because the staff, again, much like last spring, last fall, have been really quick to praise him. So I'm curious to see his stock and his risen again, because you're going to have Chico Bennett and Cam Butler being your number one. Chico's out. Cam Butler, he's also playing at Bandit sometimes in spring. So you're wondering, like, Paul Akiri, Ben Smiley, who's next in the lineup when it comes to DN? So that's something that that's the battle that we're talking. I guess the D-line doesn't get much talk about position battles because they're such a veteran unit. So that's why I feel like those guys in the twos and the threes can really improve their stock right now. So that is my take on that. And then that actually moves to the next stage is the spring game. The spring is also veterans want to, you know, keep their spot because there's transfers coming in. There might be new guys coming in. So which veteran and then which rookie do you want to see this Saturday?
I mean, again, I keep going back to Cohen King, but I think it's just so important that of how well he plays. They're short at corner. He has to make some noise. He's been solid for them at safety the last, you know, handful of years. He's already been at UVA. So how can he fill in that role? And then when it comes to the rookies, it's got to be Jaden Gibson. It's a guy they've said, we've heard he's in contention for, you know, returning punts. Wide receiver room also wide open. Not a ton of experience there. He could get a lot of snaps there. So between those two, it's just sort of he has a good chance to make an impact, and we'll get to see that firsthand on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when I talked to Jaden for the first time during his recruitment, and I saw his stats, I saw his tape. I was like, how is this guy hidden so well in Georgia? I mean, I get Georgia And honestly, the Southeast is loaded with talent. But I'm like, how is Jaden Gibson being not recruited by other programs? He seemed like a type of guy that could be quite a weapon at a few programs. So Jaden was definitely a good sleeper prospect that we were watching, especially because he was going to early enroll. And he's definitely proved that point by rotating in with the ones and the twos. He's not only rotating in the ones and twos in wide receiver unit, he was working with a slot with the ones, one of the practices we were at, but he was also working at punt return too. So it seems like Jaden's working his way into possibly playing time and not redshirting this year. So that is one guy that I'm curious to. So I'm with you on that. But as far as rookies, I'm counting guys also that have redshirted. So when it comes to rookie guys that haven't played, you know, we don't know how much Dakota Tweedy will be able to factor in this spring game. He was still wearing his green jersey the other day when he was playing. He's working back from his knee injury. But if he does play, I mean, if you had to look at a wide receiver and look the part, I mean, that guy looks the part. When you look at him, you're like, that's a big wide receiver. And I know a lot of people are excited to see him play. So if he's able to play, that's someone that I want to see. But I'm curious to see tight end Carson Gay. He's another guy, when you look at him, you think, that guy looks the part. And I think, you know, I know the group has two veterans in Grant Mish and Sackett Wood, but Carson Gay looks like an intriguing prospect. So I'm curious to see how he does if he gets some reps on Saturday at that 10 end position. And as far as veterans, I mean, it was hard for me to pick one, because when you look at it, you could go with, you know, Cam Butler when he moves to Bandit. I'm curious to see how he does there. I'm curious to see Antonio Clary this year. Last year, he was injured for a number of games, so I'm curious to see him. But honestly, I would count Tony Musket as a veteran, because he's been playing college ball for a while. So, and you always go back to that quarterback position, because at the end of the day, that quarterback position will decide how well your offense is run. So I'm going to pick Tony Musket as my guy, a veteran that I'm curious to see, because he can determine how far this offense can go. I know there's a quarterback battle with Jay Wolfick too, but again, we don't know how much time he's able to play, because he does have baseball still. So, and I think we're actually going to meet later on Thursday. This podcast is being recorded before that press conference with Tony Elliott. So we'll know a little bit more what Jay Wolfick's going to do, but I'm picking Tony Musket as my big veteran that I'm curious to see, because again, we've been hearing he's been completing over 70% of his passes. We've been hearing he's got a cannon of an arm. I want to see it. So I expect him to make some noise, and I expect fans to see what we've been hearing from the last few weeks. So Michael, finally, if you had to pick the biggest thing that you want to take away from the game, what is something that you want to leave feeling, or what is something that you want to learn more about by the end of Saturday afternoon?
I mean, I think the obvious one would be quarterback and that battle between Wolfook and Musket. But we don't really know how much we're going to see, especially of Wolfook, given that it's still baseball season. So I think I'll go more towards the receivers. Who is Musket? Who's Musket throwing the ball to a lot? Does he have a favorite guy, or is he spreading it around? How well is he spreading it around? You were just talking about it, but quarterback is just too important for that. All eyes are going to be on Musket. For everyone, every fan, that is the position that it's most important. It nothing else matters if you don't have a good quarterback.
No, that's true. That quarterback is definitely the key to your offense. So it'll be interesting to see how that offense runs. So Michael, thanks so much for kind of breaking things down with us. For those of you who will be attending the game will kick off at 2:00. It will also be streamed and live on ACC Network on Saturday, starting at 2:00. The players will be available for autographs after the game. Now, before the game, there will also be Wahoo Walk, and that will be between 12:30 and 12:45. So be there. Usually the players and the coaches will walk through so you can high five them or see them. So that will be it. Also during the spring, and that also occurs during the season too, but that'll be back during the spring game. Obviously, like we mentioned, this will be the first opportunity for the players to get back to Scott Stadium since last November. So it'll definitely be an emotional time for these guys. So again, thank you so much for Michael for joining us. And for everyone else, if you like what you're hearing, why don't you go ahead and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. We're available there. And also subscribe to your YouTube channel, like this like this video, and also click on the bell so that you're notified wherever there's a new video. So for Michael, I'm Jack Franchulli, and I hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and I hope you guys enjoy the spring game.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.